So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, I am here. Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your valuable association. Now you can start the class, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 20th, verse number 122. We will just do one verse today, verse number 122. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatan Goswami.
Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda माया मुग्ध जीवेर नाही स्वतः कृष्ण ज्ञान जीवेर कृपा कैला कृष्ण वेद पुराण.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation:
The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort.
Very important. I'm going to read this sentence again. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Srila Sanatan Goswami.
The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Purans.
Here it is saying,
Jiver Kripa Kaila, Krishna. Krishna has done a very merciful act on all the Jivatma. Jiver Kripa Kaila Krishna Veda Puran, by giving us the Vedas and the Puranas. Purport: A conditioned soul is bewildered by the Lord's illusory energy Maya. Maya's business is to keep the conditioned soul forgetful of his real relationship with Krishna. Thus, the living entity forgets his real identity as spirit soul Brahman, and instead of realizing his factual position, thinks himself the product of the material energy. According to Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.5, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute artham tatkritam chabhipatyate. Due to this external energy, the living entity, although transcendental to three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. This is a description of Maya's action upon the conditioned soul. Thinking himself a product of the material energy, the conditioned soul engages in the service of the material energy in so many ways. He becomes the servant of lust, anger, greed, and envy. In this way, one totally becomes a servant of the illusory energy. Later, the bewildered soul becomes a servant of mental speculation. But in any case, he is simply covered by the illusory energy. Out of his causeless mercy and compassion, Krishna has compiled various Vedic literatures in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva is Shaktyavesh Avatar. Shaktyavesh avatar of Lord Krishna. He has very kindly presented these Vedic literatures to awaken the conditioned soul to his senses. Unfortunately, at the present moment, the conditioned souls are guided by demons who do not care to read the Vedic literatures. Although there is an immense treasure house of knowledge, people are engaged in reading useless literature, and that will give them no information on how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The purpose of the Vedic literatures is explained in the following verses.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vise Namaha Panchatatva Atmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. I would very humbly like to offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the devotees who are listening. Thank you very much for joining the conference call. I very humbly request you, beg of you, to please bless me so that with a purified heart, I may be able to serve all of you today. Please bless me so that I may be able to repeat the words of our great Acharya Gan, all our Acharyas in such a way that all of our hearts become purified and they become attracted to the lotus feet of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. So we are continuing our study of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. And we are studying how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed his intimate disciple and devotee, Srila Sanatana Goswami, for 2 months at Varanasi. He's instructing Sanatana Goswami. Sanatan Goswami asked so many relevant questions. Who am I? Why am I suffering? What is the aim of life? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving answers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he is the highest authority. In the verse and the purport that we discussed today, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatan Goswami that all of us, conditioned souls, all of us, all the jivatmas who are trapped in this material world, we cannot understand transcendence. We cannot understand Krishna Tattva by our own intelligence. We cannot get out of our illusion by our own efforts. It is not possible. Therefore, to help us, Krishna, who is most merciful, came as Srila Vyasadev, a Shaktyavesh avatar of Krishna. Shakti means power. Avesh means to enter. So Krishna's empowered incarnation. When Krishna empowers somebody, that person is Shaktyavesh avatar. He came as Vyasadev, empowered Vyasadev to write the Vedic literature so that all of us can get out of our illusion. All this Vedic literature, Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Ischati. The essence of all the Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. For example, sometimes patients come and they have complex medical conditions, they have congestive heart failure, their heart is not pumping blood properly, as a result the blood pressure is low, the kidneys are not getting enough blood circulation, the kidneys are failing, blood is backing up into the liver, so the liver is failing, and I have to sit down and explain to the patient and the patient's loved ones everything in detail. And then I have to explain the problem, I have to explain the treatment options, I have to explain so many things. I speak for 15-20 minutes, and then the patient and the relatives ask me, just tell us now, finally, what is your recommendation as a doctor? So then I have to tell them the essence, control how much water you're drinking. Control how much salt you're taking. Take these medicines. Weigh yourself every day. This, that. I tell them very clearly, very lucidly, point-wise, 1, 2, 3, what they are supposed to do. That is the essence of everything that I describe to them for 15 minutes. In 1 minute, I give them the essence. So yes, the Vedic literatures are vast. They talk about different things. Tarko pratishtha shrutayo vibhinna nasho rishiryasya matam na bhinnam dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhaya mahajano yena gatha sapantha. Tarko apratishtha. Pratishtha means to establish. Tarko apratishtha means by tarka, by dry arguments, you cannot establish the truth. Shrutayo vibhinna. And the shruti, the Vedic literatures, are vibhinna or of various kinds. To cater to people in the mode of ignorance, there are 6 Puran. To cater and elevate the consciousness of people in the mode of passion, there are 6 Puran. To cater to the people who are in the mode of goodness, to further elevate them beyond the mode of goodness, there are 6 Puran. There are 18 Puranas. There are 4 Vedas, which mainly deal with Karmakand. How to achieve dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Then there are Upanishads, there are Vedanta Sutra, the essence of all knowledge in the form of certain mantras, certain sutras, keys. And to explain those sutras, there is the Mahapuran, Bhagavat Puran, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic instruction. There are hundreds and thousands of Sanskrit verses in all the Vedic literature, including the Vedas, the Puranas, the Upanishads, the Itihasas like Ramayana and Mahabharata. There are lakhs and lakhs. There are hundreds and thousands of Sanskrit verses. But the essence of all instruction of all these Vedic literatures is the 18,000 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedanta Saram hi Shri Bhagavatam ischati. Yad rasamrita truttasya na anya tati kochit. A person who is satisfied truttasya by the nectar of the juice of Bhagavatam, yad rasamrita truptasya na anya rati kochit, cannot get rati, cannot get attraction or taste or anything else. A person who has drunk the nectar of Srimad Bhagavatam can never find satisfaction in any other literature, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all instruction. Just like in the end, a doctor will summarize exactly what the patient needs to do after describing all the different treatment options. In the end, a doctor gives the final, do this, do this, do this, in my opinion. Similarly, the essence of all Vedic literature, the summary of all Vedic literature, the cream of all Vedic literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Chaitanya Charitamrit is further explanation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam concludes, the last verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, last verse of the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Kshamanas Tam Namami Harim Param. The last verse of Bhagavatam glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Hari and Sankirtan of Harinam. Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam. By doing Nama Sankirtan, not Kirtan, but by doing Nama Sankirtan, coming together, devotees coming together and singing the holy name of Lord Hari, all the sins are destroyed. We are in this material world, we are in this world of illusion, we are in this Maya Jagat because of our sins and our tendency to commit sins. Our sins and our tendency to commit sins gets destroyed by Harinam. Srimad Bhagavatam concludes by glorifying Harinam. Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us how to do Harinam Sankirtan. Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us the glories of Harinam Sankirtan. Chaitanya Charitamrita teaches us what are the pitfalls when devotees come together for Harinam Sankirtan and how we should observe Vaishnava etiquette, how we should develop loving relationships with each other, how we can coexist. There are so many examples in Gaur Leela. Two great devotees, Jagadananda Pandit, who is incarnation of Satyabhama, Krishna's wife, one of the eight principal wives from Dwarka. And there is Swarup Damodar Goswami, who is Lalita Sakhi from Vrindavan, Vraja Leela. Just imagine. Jagadananda Pandit is Satyabhama from Dwarka, and Swarup Damodar Goswami is Lalita Sakhi. And Jagadananda Pandit writes a very beautiful pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we do not have time to discuss it. I would love to discuss it though. Very beautiful pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was 5 years old, Nimai Pandit. He wrote this, and Swarup Damodar told him, why are you writing all these pastimes? Where, you know, he's doing so many things which common people will not be able to understand. Because they think that he's an ordinary boy. They do not know that he is Vrajendra Nandan Krishna. But they coexist. Although there is a disagreement between Swarup Damodar and Jagadananda Pandit, Swarup Damodar doesn't feel that Jagadananda Pandit should glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way. And Jagadananda Pandit feels that there will be a section of devotees who would enjoy reading this, who would relish this in the future. Yes, today everybody considers Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be a great saint, or some of them know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not like us to glorify him as a Supreme Lord, they are not glorifying him as a Supreme Lord. But in the future, devotees will worship him openly. They will glorify him openly as the Yoga Avatar. So Jagadananda Pandit was catering to those types of devotees. And Swarup Damodar did not feel it was necessary. But they coexisted. Swarup Damodar allowed Jagadananda Pandit to write it. And Jagadananda Pandit acknowledged the opinion of Swarup Damodar, but he stood firm in his determination to write. And Swarup Damodar did not get angry, upset, or bitter about it. Sometimes devotees disagree, but we should learn to coexist. Because we agree on more fundamental things than our superficial disagreements. Both agreed. Jagadananda Pandit and Swarup Damodar both agreed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is their Prananath, the Lord of their lives. So what is the problem tolerating superficial differences? If we agree on something so deep, then why worry about the superficial waves of disagreements and difference of opinion? Gaur Leela teaches us these vital Vaishnava etiquettes. How to get along. Not just get along, but how to develop intimate friendships and relationships with Vaishnavas. Because it is not easy to live in a society of devotees. Why? Because devotees are on different levels of spiritual realizations. And when so many different egos come together, there is going to be friction. Yesterday was the appearance day of Sripad Ramanujacharya. In today's verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us that it is impossible for a Jivatma to get out of this material world by his or her own efforts. That is why the Vedic literature, the revealed scriptures, are compiled by Krishna to deliver us, to save us, to liberate us from this material entanglement. We will try to connect these two topics, Sripad Ramanujacharya and the importance of Vedic literature. Is that okay? Yes. Can we do that?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, this is a very, very interesting story. One of my favorite stories. It is incredible. We all know that when Sripad Ramanujacharya went to Sripad Yamunacharya, when Yamunacharya had already left this world, he had three fingers which were open. And Sripad Ramanujacharya communicated with Yamunacharya internally, in his heart. It is called Samadhi Bhasha.
And it was revealed to Shripad Ramanujacharya what are the three unfulfilled desires of Shripad Yamunacharya. One of the desires was that the Shri Sampradaya, to which Yamunacharya and Ramanujacharya both belonged, should have its own authentic, authoritative commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. The natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra is given by the author of Vedanta Sutra, Srila Vyasadeva himself, and it is called Srimad Bhagavatam. But each sampradaya has its own commentary on Vedanta Sutra, keeping in line with Srimad Bhagavatam's teachings. And that gives authority to the sampradaya. So Sri Sampradaya did not have its own commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So Shripad Ramanujacharya promised Yamunacharya that yes, I will write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And because we are in Sri Sampradaya, I will name it Sri Bhasya, the commentary of Srimati Lakshmi Devi. Now, in those days, at the time of Shripad Ramanujacharya, Mayavad or impersonalism was predominant in the Indian society, in Bharatvarsh. There were certain pandits, certain Brahmins who were extremely learned and they were very powerful preachers of Mayavad. In Chaitanya Charitamrita we learn that Varanasi was one such place. Is it not? Varanasi, there was Prakashananda Saraswati and his thousands of followers. They were all pakka Mayavadis, staunch Mayavadis. Similarly, in Kashmir, also there were very learned pandits. And they were also very proud of their learning and they were all impersonalists. Actually, if you read the purport carefully that we read today, Prabhupada very subtly hints towards Mayavad also. He says that we become slaves of lust, anger, greed, and envy. And in the next sentence, Prabhupada writes in the purport, and then later on, some of them become slaves of their mental speculation. But regardless, both categories of men are covered by illusory energy of Krishna. So this people who become slaves of their own mental speculation, Srila Prabhupada is referring to Mayavad, where Vedic literature is misinterpreted and a false understanding is created that actually the supreme truth is only Brahman and Bhagavan feature of the supreme is an illusion, is temporary, and everything is false and illusory. Everything is Maya. Maya, Maya, Maya. Krishna's form is Maya. Krishna's name is Maya. Krishna's pastimes are Maya. This world is Maya. Maya, Maya, Maya. So Mayavad. The whole of Bharatvarsha was predominated by the Mayavad thought, Mayavad school. And Shripad Ramanujacharya was the pioneer. He was the first person to take on Mayavad. Srila Ramanujacharya ki jai. The most powerful literature in support of the Mayavad school of thought, coming in the line of Shripad Shankaracharya, was in Kashmir, North India. And they had one particular Mayavadi commentary which was very powerful. It gave very thought-provoking and powerful arguments in favor of Mayavad. In order for Shripad Ramanujacharya to conclusively defeat the Mayavad arguments, it was necessary for Shripad Ramanujacharya to carefully study what the Mayavad literatures speak about. What are their arguments? So that he can quote those arguments and
shatter them, squash them, defeat them. But for this, Shripad Ramanacharya had to get his hands on that Mayavad literature. The Mayavadis knew the power of Shripad Ramanacharya by now, because he had powerful disciples like Dasharathi and Kuresh. They knew his power. They knew his purity. They knew his talent and his capacity to preach the pure teachings of Vaishnavism. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies Sripad Ramanujacharya by saying that I have taken two essential teachings from Srila Ramanujacharya. Number one, pure unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Shuddha Krishna Bhakti is one. And second is Vaishnava Seva. The pure teachings of Ramanujacharya to serve each others in Vaishnava community with humility. These two teachings, Vaishnava Seva and Hari Bhakti, I have taken from Sri Ramanujacharya. So for Ramanujacharya to establish the Vaishnava Siddhanta, he had to study the Mayavad literature. So along with Kuresh, Shripad Ramanujacharya traveled all the way to Kashmir. And he visited that monastery where all these Mayavadis were living. These Mayavadis were very careful when they saw Ramanujacharya and Kuresh, because they could make out that they are powerful Vaishnavas. And they could sense that these two great personalities could become a great threat to our Siddhanta. Ramanujacharya very humbly requested them that I want to see your Mayavad literature. I want to see that book. I want to read it. Can you please allow me? So they told Ramanujacharya that we are sorry, we cannot give it to you, but you can just see and read it for some time. And they handed over that Mayavad literature to Srila Ramanujacharya. And they were keeping a close eye on him. And Ramanujacharya kept reading. And he said, I want to read it through the night. And the Mayavadis, they slept off. They slept off. And for a higher purpose, Ramanujacharya decided that he will take that Mayavad literature and escape into the forest and come back to Srirangam, so that he can carefully study it and peacefully write an elaborate, detailed commentary, completely smashing the false, imaginary, speculative Mayavad arguments. So in the dead of the night, in the dark of the night, Ramanujacharya wrapped up that Mayavad literature into a piece of cloth, tucked it under his arm, and accompanied by Kuresh, he carefully made his way out of that monastery. And they decided that all night we will run through the forest so that these Mayavadis and their bloodthirsty soldiers will not find us. So high up in the Himalayas, through tall mountains, through dangerous forests where tigers and leopards and bears lived, Srila Ramanujacharya and Kuresh, they started running. And they had to run really fast because it was a full moon night and there was very good visibility. And there was a chance that the soldiers would spot them even at night. So all night they were running. They ran. But after some time, Ramanujacharya decided that we have come long way. We have been running for quite a few hours now. We started in the evening. We have been running for quite a few hours.
I think it is okay to take a few hours of rest at night. So Ramanujacharya rested a few hours and he asked Kuresh also to take a rest. And then early in the morning, they woke up and continued their journey, running through the forest. But back in the monastery, they realized that Ramanujacharya and Kuresh had escaped with the Mayavad literature. Actually, their plan was to assess the intentions of Ramanujacharya and to debate with him about Siddhanta. And if Ramanujacharya did not succumb to their Mayavad philosophy, they had decided to kill Ramanujacharya and Kuresh in the monastery itself. And Ramanujacharya knew the plan. That's why, with his disciple Kuresh, he ran. The soldiers were on horseback, armed with swords and spears. They spread out in the forest everywhere, looking for Ramanujacharya and Kuresh. And from the mountains, Ramanujacharya could see the soldiers are closing in on them. They are approaching. So he increased his pace. But this book, Mayavad literature, was quite bulky, written on so many palm leaves. He had to carry it very carefully. They were very fragile palm leaves. They could just crumple to powder if not handled properly. Or they could just fall off from that piece of cloth in which he had wrapped it. So he had to be very careful running with that bulky literature. And the soldiers were closing in. And Ramanujacharya and Kuresh were climbing up one mountain. And it was really hard to run up a mountain with that bulky literature. Ramanujacharya had to make a call. He had to make a choice. Finally, he made a choice. Forget it. We will dump this literature here. When these people come, they will find their book. They will be happy. They will pick up the book, take it, and turn around and return back to the monastery. They will not bother about us, knowing that we have returned or abandoned their Mayavad literature. So Ramanujacharya made the hard choice. We came all the way here from South India just to get this book, just to copy it. But they did not allow us to copy it. So we had to steal it and run. We took so much risk. And now I have to give it back to them, because I cannot run with this bulky literature. Ramanujacharya was thinking like this. And finally, he made the decision and he dropped that Mayavad literature somewhere in the forest, in a prominent place, so that the soldiers chasing him will find it. We can learn that sometimes we have to make hard choices. Leaders have to make hard choices. Everyone has to make hard choices. We have to balance what is at risk and what is the benefit. And if the benefit outweighs the risk, we should do it. Here Ramanujacharya was concerned about the life of his beloved disciple Kuresh and his own life. He knew how much he could contribute to the society. He knew his seva was not completed yet. So he decided, I will drop this book and try to save the life of my disciple and my own life. He dropped the book and he and Kuresh continued to run. They somehow reached the top of the mountain and then it was all downhill, very easy. And then they picked up speed and without the book, they were able to run really fast. And they ran and ran and ran. The whole day they ran until the night fell. And then they again looked back and they could not see the soldiers anywhere. So they were reassured that the soldiers must have found that literature and they must have turned back satisfied that they were able to get the literature back from Ramanujacharya and Kuresh. That night, Ramanujacharya told Kuresh, let us take rest because we have been running practically the whole day. We are tired. Let us take rest and we'll resume our journey back to South India tomorrow morning. So Kuresh said, all right, Gurudev. And they both laid down on the forest ground, gazing up at the night sky. Ramanujacharya was deep in thought. And then Ramanujara revealed his heart to Kuresh. My dear Kuresh, I feel that this mission was a failure. It was a failure. We traveled so much distance, we took such risk just to get that Mayavad literature. But we failed. We could neither copy it nor steal it. How will I do my seva to Shri Lakshmi Narayan now? How will I write? How will I defeat these arguments? And Ramanacharya, speaking like this, was feeling very dejected. Suddenly Kuresh sat up and holding the lotus feet of his beloved Gurudev, Kuresh spoke. My dear Gurudev, please do not be despondent. Please do not be disappointed. Please do not feel sad. Your mission was not a failure, Gurudev. Your mission has been successful. By your mercy, last night when you were taking rest, I read the whole book. By your mercy, I had the eyes to be able to read the whole book in the moonlight. And by morning, by the time you woke up, I had read the whole book. And by your mercy, Gurudev, I have memorized each and every word of the entire Mayavad book. Let us go back to our ashram in Sri Rangam, and I will speak the entire book to you. And then you can make points and defeat all their arguments. Srila Kuresh ki jai. This is a disciple. Just meditate on this. Kuresh was tired, but he did not take rest, did not sleep. In the moonlight, he did not complain that there is no light. If I light a fire, the soldiers will spot us. He could have given so many excuses. My guru himself is sleeping. Oh, this is impossible. He had a burning desire to serve his guru in writing a commentary on the authentic Vedic literature. Because it is this Vedic literature which is going to save humanity from the illusion of material entanglement. He had such a burning, genuine, humble desire to serve his Gurudev that Guru and Krishna empowered him with the eyes to read in the moonlight. With the intelligence to remember and memorize everything. And with the humility to not boast about his achievement the next day morning to his Gurudev. He did not tell his Guru Maharaj, I did not sleep. By the way, Ramanacharya, I did not sleep last night. I just wanted to let you know. I'm tired. If I'm running slowly, don't mind it. It's because I have not slept. You know, I was reading the book for your sake. You did not even tell me, but I have memorized it. Just FYI. No. Kuresh kept quiet until Ramanujacharya revealed his heart, how despondent he was feeling. Then Kuresh got up and told his Guru Maharaj, I have the book memorized. Do not worry. That is a disciple. You see, all these examples are there in the scriptures to inspire us. We may not necessarily be able to imitate this, but it should certainly inspire us. We may not be able to give up sleep the whole night, but can we give up a few hours of sleep to chant our japa nicely, to read Srila Prabhupada's books nicely, to serve our Gurudev, to serve devotees nicely? If we can do that, that means we have understood this leela. We have understood this pastime. There are two things. One is
know, to know something, and the other thing is to realize something. Knowing is easy. Getting knowledge is easy. You can just read, hear, and get the knowledge. But to actually realize it, that is the real perfection of our life. Sometimes we use the word realization very lightly. Prabhu, I have a realization. Can I share a realization? You know, what is your realization? You know, my realization, that realization. We use the word realization very lightly. But actually, we should try to understand what it really means. What is the meaning of realization? We can say that the holy name of Krishna purifies the heart. Cheto darpana marjanam. But to actually experience that by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by the causeless mercy of Hari Guru and Vaishnavas, we are able to give up some of our old bad habits, some of our old bad addictions. That is realization of Cheto Darpana Marjanam. That is the difference between knowing something and realizing something. So from this we can understand how much Quraysh had realized the value of authentic, genuine Vaishnava literature, which is being talked about in this verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and by Srila Prabhupada in the purport of the verse that we discussed today. Let me see what the time is. We still have 15 minutes. So there is something else I want to tell, I want to discuss and present before all of you. Vedic literature, we discussed that the essence of Vedic literature is Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is of two types, the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. Book Bhagavatam, we all know, 18,000 verses, very mercifully translated and commented upon by Srila Prabhupada and his humble disciples. Person Bhagavatam is a person who not just has knowledge of the Bhagavatam, but who has realized Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranamo Dukkha Kshamanastam Namami Harimparam. Bhagavatam is a person who not only knows this verse, but is actually doing it. He is actually taking shelter of Harinam. He is actually preaching Harinam. And his acharan is also of that person who is sinless. Sarva papa pranashanam. Achar and prachar. Like Sanatan Goswami glorified Haridas Thakur. You have both. You have prachar, you are preaching Haridas Thakur, the glories of the holy name. But in your achar, in your behavior, in your conduct, we can see that you have realized the glories of the holy name. Bhagavat person is that person who is living Srimad Bhagavatam in his or her life. Example can be Srivas Thakur. From Srila Ramanujacharya's Parshads, his associates, I would like to discuss one such story in the next 10 minutes and then we'll stop. This person was an associate of Sripada Ramanujacharya and he lived in Kanchipur. Always engaged in the service of Sri Varadaraj. His name was Kanchipurna. His seva was to fan Sri Varadaraj. He had a fan made of peacock feathers and with love all day long. Because Kanchipuram can get very
warm. So he would sit all day long, and with his fan, he would fan Shri Varadaraj. And in the summer season, when it got really hot, in those days there were no coolers or air conditioners. So Kanchipurna used to dip his fan in cool water. And then with that wet fan, he used to fan Shri Varadaraj. And a nice cool wind would blow on the transcendental body of Shri Varadaraj. Varadaraj was so pleased with the service of Kanchipurna that he would talk to Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna would talk to Shri Varadaraj. In fact, they would discuss Shastra. They would discuss scriptures. They would discuss Vedic literature, which we are talking about in today's verse and purport. Kanchipurna would discuss Vedic literature with the Supreme Lord, Shri Varadaraj. And everybody in Kanchipuram knew that Kanchipurna is a very exalted, very advanced, pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta of Varadaraj. So much so that Varadaraj actually, personally, physically talks to him every day. And he always asks for Kanchipurna. Where is he? That service of being fanned by Kanchipurna was very dear to Shri Varadaraj. So Kanchipurna became a very famous saint all over the land. Everybody knew him, that he is a great Vaishnava. And there was a poor, illiterate person in Kanchipur who had great attraction for Kanchipurna. And he would consider Kanchipurna as his spiritual mentor, as his guide, as his guru, as everything. There was no formal relationship. There was no formal relationship of Guru Shishya, but he would consider Kanchipurna as his everything, his guide and everything. So when he had some doubts, he had some questions, he would ask Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna, being a humble devotee, would try to answer and help him. One day, this poor person came to Kanchipurna and asked him, "Will I go back to Godhead in this lifetime?" Kanchipurna looked at him. He said, "That is not in my hands. That is between you and Varadaraj. Let me ask him. I do not know the answer, but I will ask him." This poor man said, "Yes, please ask, because I am illiterate, I am poor, I don't know. I don't know how to ask him. Please ask him. He talks to you." So Kanchipurna said, "No problem, I will talk. I will ask him." So Kanchipurna, next day, as he was fanning Shri Varadaraj, he asked Varadaraj, "My dear Lord, I have a question for you." Varadaraj said, "Ask, what is it?" So Kanchipurna just blurted out, "My dear Varadaraj, you know that person, that illiterate poor person who is my friend? He wants to know if he will go back to Godhead in this lifetime or not." Immediately Varadaraj replied, "Go tell him, tell that poor illiterate person who doesn't have any knowledge of the Vedic literature, tell him that yes, he will go back to Godhead in this very lifetime. And his qualification is that he is very attached to you. And you are my beloved devotee. Because he is attached to you, tell him that when he dies, I will personally take him to Vaikuntha. Yes, he will go back to Godhead in this lifetime because he is attached to you. Because he has faith in you. Because he serves you. Ye me bhakta jana partha, name bhaktaschate jana, mad bhakta nam chaye bhaktaste me bhaktottama mata. Krishna tells Arjun in Adi Puran
Those who consider themselves to be my devotees are actually not my devotees. But those who are devotees of my devotees, they are my uttam bhakta, they are my topmost devotees. So Kanchipurna goes to that poor man and gives him the good news. I spoke to Varadaraj and he has guaranteed that yes, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. And that poor man becomes very happy. He has tears of joy in his eyes and with folded hands he offers his obeisances to his friend, philosopher and guide, Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna returns to the service of Varadaraj. Few days pass. And Kanchipurna, in his humble heart, has a doubt. But he is too shy to ask Varadaraj his question, his doubt. So one day, as he was fanning Varadaraj, Varadaraj looked at Kanchipurna and asked him, "Do you want to ask me a question?" And Kanchipurna was struck with surprise. What to do? He knows everything. So he tells Lord Varadaraj, "What can I hide from you? Everything is known to you. There is one question which is pricking my heart and I wanted to ask you." Varadaraj says, "Please ask me anything." Kanchipurna asks Lord Varadaraj in a soft tone, "Will I ever go back to Godhead?" So Kanchipurna in his heart was thinking that this poor illiterate man is going back to Godhead. And Varadaraj said he is going back to Godhead because of his attachment to me. So because Kanchipurna was such an exalted devotee, he did not become proud of his connection with Lord Varadaraj. Rather, he became humble. And he was thinking, "Will I ever go back to Godhead? Not in this life. Will I ever go back to Godhead?" That was his doubt. He was not sure about himself. So he asked Varadaraj. And Varadaraj became very grave. And he told Kanchipurna, "My dear Kanchipurna, you are my beloved devotee. I am very attached to you. And you are very attached to my service. My promise is, ye yathamam prapadyante tamstatha eva bhajamyaham. As you approach me, I reciprocate accordingly. As you have a desire to serve me, I give you that service accordingly. You want to fan me because you are concerned that I will feel hot. You want to fan me, so I allow you to fan me. You want to converse with me. You want to talk to me. So I converse with you. I talk to you. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam tathaya bhajamyaham. But just because I allow you to fan me, just because I speak to you, doesn't mean that you will go back to Godhead. You will come to my Vaikuntha Dham. You, Kanchipurna, my dear devotee, are not qualified to come to my Vaikuntha Dham. Only those devotees who serve my devotees, only those Vaishnavas who do Vaishnava Seva can come to Vaikuntha. You have done my Seva, you have done Hari Seva, but you have not done Vaishnava Seva. Therefore, you are not qualified. Kanchipurna, that very moment, dropped the peacock fan. He put it down and he told Varadaraj, "Bye-bye. I am going. Thank you for enlightening me. I am going." And from Kanchipur, he goes straight to Srirangam,
where a great exalted disciple of Sripad Yamunacharya was staying at that time. His name was Mahapurna. He was one of the spiritual masters of Sripad Ramanujacharya. So Kanchipurna, he gives up his saffron clothes, the clothes of a sadhu. He wipes off his Vaishnava tilak so that nobody will identify him. And he begs from some passerby people, please give me some used clothes, dhoti, and some chadar that you may have, used, torn, rejected piece of cloth. He wore that dhoti and that shawl, chadar, and he went to the house of Mahapurna. He offered his obeisances and identified himself as just a lowly, poor Brahman, and told Mahapurna, my dear Mahapurna, please engage me in some seva in your house. You have few cows which help you in your Vaishnava services. You can offer milk to Krishna. You can make ghee to offer ghee lamps to Krishna. So you have maintained few cows. Please allow me to take care of your cows. Please allow me to fetch water for you from the Kaveri every day. Please allow me to wash the vessels after your wife has finished cooking. Please give me some menial service. Please allow me to collect some dry pieces of sticks from the forest so that your wife can cook. I will also clean the cow dung. I will also make patties from the cow dung for cooking. I will wash the cows. I will feed grass to your cows. I will milk your cows. I will take them out for grazing. I will bring them under the shade when it is too hot or when it is raining. I will just do any menial service. I will put fresh cow dung on the floors and walls of your little hut. Just give me all these services. I just want to serve you. Seeing the sincere determination of this poor Brahman, who actually was Kanchipurna, Mahapurna gave his permission and he said, from today, I will call you my boy, which means my son. I will call you my boy and you can stay. He gave him a very small hut, makeshift hut, just outside his house in the courtyard where he could rest at night. And in this way, Kanchipurna was completely engaged in serving Mahapurna and his good wife. For 6 months, more than 6 months, he served them very diligently, very attentively, without accepting a single coin in return. Nothing. If you want, you just feed me prasad after you have finished taking prasad. If you cannot, that is fine. I will fast. But I just want to stay with you. I just want to serve you. Because Kanchipurna knew that if he revealed his identity, nobody is going to allow him to serve because he was famous everywhere. So he covered up his identity. He was living incognito and just humbly serving the cows, serving Mahapurna and assisting his wife in menial services without expecting anything in return. One day, the weather was very harsh. It was raining. There was thunder, lightning, heavy rains when Kanchipurna had taken the cows for grazing in the forest. So he got stuck in the rains. Finally, somehow, he was able to collect all the cows and bring them. In the evening, he reached. He tied the cows under a shade and then himself went in his hut. His only set of clothing was the torn piece of dhoti and the torn piece of chadar which he had begged on the streets. And this only set of clothing was completely drenched and wind was blowing. It was a little chilly at night. So Kanchipurna looked around in his hut and he saw his original clothes of a sadhu, which were folded and kept in a corner. and the stick of his chandan. And he felt a desire. It is night. Nobody is watching. I chant every night my japa. Today, just for tonight, let me remove these clothes of an ordinary person. And just to keep myself dry and warm, let me wear my old clothes of a sadhu. Let me put on my Vaishnav tilak. And let me chant on my Tulsi Mala. So Kanchipurna wore the dress of sadhu, his original dress, which was the only pair of dress he had. He put on Vaishnav tilak and he sat down with his Tulsi Mala, intensely chanting his japa. He had just begun chanting when Mahapurna, being a compassionate Vaishnav, realized that today my boy must have been stuck in bad weather and he must have been completely drenched. I have noticed he only has one set of clothes. When he goes to take snan in the Kaveri, he's wearing those clothes and then he just lets them dry in the sun while he's working. But I've never seen him in any other set of clothes. So he must be really wet, soaking wet. At night, his clothes are not going to dry. He'll be shivering. He may fall sick. He may suffer. Let me give him my clothes. So Mahapurna took a set of dry clothes and quickly ran to the hut, protecting those clothes from the rain. And unexpectedly, he just opened the door and entered the little hut, the little kutir of Kanchipurna. And Mahapurna, being an exalted devotee, when he saw the effulgent sadhu sitting in saffron clothes, his body decorated with the supreme jewel of Vaishnav tilak, and chanting japa with such love and intensity, Mahapurna in his heart immediately understood, this has to be Kanchipurna, the celebrated servant of Sri Varadaraj. Mahapurna fell at the feet of Kanchipurna. And Kanchipurna immediately got up and he offered his dandavats to Mahapurna and told him, please get up, my lord, please get up. Don't offer me obeisances. I'm just your boy. But Mahapurna raised Kanchipurna and embraced him with tears in his eyes. Both of them were crying. This is what happens when two Vaishnavas embrace each other. The love for Krishna and the love for Krishna's devotees sometimes manifests in the eyes as tears of joy. In that great union, on that rainy night, in that small hut, Mahapurna and Kanchipurna were embracing each other and crying. And Mahapurna told him, why did you leave the service of Sri Varadaraj? And why did you come here? Serve me like a menial servant. My guru Yamunacharya, when he was explaining the meaning of this verse, Mahajano Yena Gathasa Pantha, he had told us long time ago, Kanchipurna is that Mahajan who you should follow. His example you should follow. Our guru Yamunacharya used to glorify you, O Kanchipurna. And you have come in my house and you have been working like a menial servant, hiding your identity. But today, Krishna, who has the complexion of rain-filled clouds, sent his mercy in the form of this rain and has revealed your effulgent identity to me. Please, I beg you, I am doing yachana, please go back to the service of your Varadaraj. He must be missing you. Please go. And just to satisfy him, Kanchipurna went back to Kanchipur and resumed his service to Varadaraj, picked up his fan and resumed his service to Varadaraj. And after he was fanning Varadaraj for a few minutes, Varadaraj very sweetly told Kanchipurna, "Now you will go back to Godhead. Now you will go back to Godhead." And Kanchipurna was very happy. This was a sweet, loving relationship between Varadaraj and Kanchipurna. And Mahapurna is that loving Vaishnav who always wants to reunite the devotee with the Lord. There are so many pastimes of Varadaraj with Kanchipurna. There is one pastime with Varada, who was the light bearer of that temple. He used to, after the darshan closed, temple closed, then Kanchipurna and other pujaris, they had to find their way to their home in the darkness of the night. So this boy used to, the lantern, he used to accompany them, show them the way, show them the light. And there are a few other pastimes also, but we have run out of time. So we'll stop here. This is the importance of the Vedic literature, and exalted pure devotees of the Lord are also called Bhagwat. They are the person Bhagwat. Both are very important. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastises Devananda Pandit, he tells him, "All your life you have studied the book Bhagwat, but when the person Bhagwat Srivas Thakur came and sat among your students, you disrespected him, or you allowed him to get disrespected." So person Bhagwat is also very important. For us, person Bhagwat is our spiritual master. For us, person Bhagwat is our Srila Prabhupada and all our liberated, exemplary, exalted acharyas of our sampradaya and other Vaishnava sampradayas also. So let us engage ourselves in the service of these revealed scriptures which are meant to liberate us from this world, and also let us engage ourselves, let us dedicate our lives in the service of the person Bhagwat, Srila Prabhupada. There is so much service to do for Srila Prabhupada. He has given us so many service opportunities in ISKCON. And if we do them sincerely, with a humble heart, one day, the giver of all benedictions, Sri Varadaraj, may tell us that we will also go. Thank you all very much. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Adi Guru, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu ki jai. Very much, Prabhuji, very, very nice. The story between Kanchipurna, Mahapurna, Varadaraj. Wonderful. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, Dandavat. Thank you so much for the very wonderful, wonderful narration. Prabhuji, if I can ask, if you don't mind, can you tell me the reference of where you got the first half and the second half of the story, Prabhu? Talking about Sripad Ramanujacharya getting the script, as well as where Kanchipurna actually served.
Kanchipurna actually, where, what?
No. Can you tell me the reference lecture or the reference where you got this material from?
Yeah. So, whatever I spoke, Mataji, it is from two sources. The story of Sripad Ramanujacharya and Kuresh going to Kashmir and getting that Mayavad literature and Kuresh memorizing it, that is from a lecture given by Gaurang Prabhu on Atma serial in Hindi.
Gaurang Prabhu used to give those Bhagavad Gita classes na, on Atma channel. So Atma serial on some TV channel many, many years ago. So I had heard it from Gauranga Prabhu, the story of Ramanacharya going to Kashmir. And the story of, which is the other part of your question? Which other?
Yeah, the story of Kanchipurna serving. Yeah.
Kanchipurna becoming a servant of Mahapurna?
No, yeah, I just wanted to, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, so that is, Radhanath Maharaj, in the 2005-2006 South India Yatra, he gave a class on, let me see exactly which that, I can actually send you that link. I have it, actually I heard that class. So this is 2005-2006 South India Yatra, it is, the lecture after Ramanujacharya accepts sannyas. It is a lecture called Kanchipurna's Loving Relation with Lord Varadraj.
Okay, Prabhu.
It's called Desiratory. 2005-2006 South India Yatra. It's called Desiratory.
Yes, Prabhuji, in Kanchipuram Maharaj will explain this story. Yeah.
You were there?
Yes, Prabhuji, by Gopinath Murthy.
Jai. So the whole thing was from there, Mataji. The whole pastime was from there. Very sweet pastime.
So, thank you. With your permission, I add a few things. Different variations because of the first part of the story, especially about Sripad Ramanujacharya getting the script from the Saraswati Banda. So is it okay if I can get some inputs on this?
Absolutely. Please, by all means.
Okay. So, of course, there are different variations, and this is the first time I heard Ramanujacharya actually stole and ran, and then these people chased them down the mountains and all that. This is the first time I'm hearing that part of the story. So, I can give some inputs of different sources of how the story has been told. Of course, I'm not saying one is right, one is wrong, just different variations. So, I just wanted to share. So regarding this this whole trip to Kashmir, to get this particular script, it's actually called as the Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantha. So this Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantha is nothing but a Bodhayana's commentary on the Vedanta Sutras. So basically, Vyasadeva writes commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, and his disciple, he had many disciples, of which Bodhayana was one of the disciples, and he further elaborated on the commentary of his spiritual master, Vyasadeva. So basically, this text is called, he gave an elaboration on the Vedanta Sutras. Hence, it is called as Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantham. Now, this Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantham was a reference for everybody, Mayavadis, Vaishishta Advaitis, whatever, whoever further wrote commentaries on the Vyasa Sutras, which is the Vedanta Sutras. So basically, Ramanujacharya, when he wanted to write a Vaishishta Advaita commentary, he wanted to go and get this important book, Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantham. Because without that book, he won't be able to do justice to the Vishishta Advaita commentary of the Sri Bhashya. So for that reason, he actually went there. And actually speaking, the book itself is not a Mayavada book. It is more of a commentary given by Bodhayana. So he goes there, and there are two stories that has been told in these biographies of Sripad Ramanujacharya. One story is that Saraswati Devi, who is in charge of the Saraswati Bandar in Kashmir, without her permission, you may not be able to enter the library to access the book. So apparently, there were some Saraswati Devi appeared there, and there were some question and answers between Saraswati Devi and Ramanujacharya, and Ramanujacharya got access to the library, and he got the Bodhayana Vriddhi Grantha, and he came back with Kuresh. And when they were back, the Mayavadis understood that there is something going on here. And they looted the book, or rather they took away the book from there. There are two opinions again here. The Mayavadis came and they stole the book when they were sleeping. And the second opinion is that the guards of the Saraswati Banda, realizing that the book was missing, because they didn't understand this dealing between Saraswati Devi and Ramanujacharya. Hence, when they saw that certain parts of when they checked the library before locking the library, they saw that these two books are missing, and hence they came chasing and they took the book when they were sleeping and they went away. And of course, Kuresh, who's the like he can just read it and he can memorize it instantly. So hence he solved the problem and he told Ramanujacharya the entire story. This is one version. Second version is that they were given the guards in the Saraswati Bandar were very strict, and they said they can only refer it overnight and they may not borrow it. Hence, they referred it. But however, Kuresh was the one who memorized it, and when Sripad Ramanujacharya went back, Kuresh taught him this. So this is the first time I was hearing about the stealing and escaping and all that. So I'm just adding two more perspectives to the story. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just adding two more perspectives. Then the second part of the story, Prabhu, yes, there are some people who say it is the another perspective of the second story, which is Kanchi Purna serving as the cartman. Apparently, in some cases, most, they say it is actually Goshti Purna. In Goshti Purna's house, he went and he saw. But it doesn't matter. No, ultimately, it was a devotee. So I just wanted to make these additions. So thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you. The class is very beautiful. Very beautifully narrated, Prabhu. Thank you.
Thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, for the additions and giving us the different perspectives and different versions of the Leela. Very, very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much. Can I say something, Preeti Vilasini Mataji? When I was hearing the lecture further, after describing this section, Maharaj describes about Dasharathi. And Dasharathi asks, Dasharathi and Kuresh are the two intimate disciples of Ramanujacharya at that time. And then Dasharathi asks Ramanujacharya, can you tell, no, first Kuresh asks Ramanujacharya, can you please tell me the inner meaning of Sarvadharman Parityajya? So Ramanujacharya tells him that you do Madhukari for 1 year, and then I will tell you, because one has to do humble service to understand the inner meaning of this verse. And then seeing that Kuresh did it and then got to the inner meaning, then Dasharathi also develops a desire that even I want to know what is the inner meaning, the internal meaning of this verse. So he asks Gurudev, Sripad Ramanujacharya, and to him, Ramanujacharya says that you go to Goshti Purna.
Right, you're right. So he goes to Goshti Purna's house and he serves washing the dishes and all that. Yes, is that correct?
Yes, Mataji. Yes. Perfect.
Yes, true.
Mataji, this this Ramayan classes that you are giving, it is just my humble desire. I have starred your recordings, most of them. You know, one should get them on a flash drive. I don't know how to do that from the iPhone, but get them on a flash drive, and then all your lectures, starting from the beginning of Ramayana till when you finish it, they can be all on a flash drive so that one can hear them continuously, you know, in sequence, because you are giving, you know, doing those Ramayana katha so nicely in such depth and detail, that it will be a very nice resource if we could have, you know, on the flash drive. So I'm thinking how to do that. I have saved your lectures, Ramayana. And you gave also a series of lectures on Sripad Ramanujacharya, right, a few years ago?
Yes, Prabhu, yes. Prabhu, thank you so much. I feel very humbled. Prabhu, yes, we are putting them into a drive, and we are also saving them in order. And I will, what I'll do is hopefully by Lord Ram's mercy, I hope to finish at least Ramapattabhishekam on Ramanavami. So I'll put everything into a Google Drive maybe, and then share it. Will that help? That's what
Tremendously. Thank you so much. May Srila Prabhupada and Krishna keep empowering you more and more. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you, Prabhu, and thank you everyone for the mercy. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Adigar Adar Prabhu and Preeti Vilasini Mataji. Thank you for a wonderful class, wonderful discussion. I was thinking of two thoughts, and maybe it was mentioned, I'm not sure, but I was just thinking how, although Kuresh was serving Vardaraj, Kuresh, right? Forgot. Was serving Vardaraj, he had to serve the Vaishnava in order to actually go back to Godhead. So it just shows the power of the devotee of the Lord, that it's more important to serve the devotee of the Lord than the Lord himself. And it was reminded me a little bit about, I know many of us are missing our Guru Maharajas, wherever they may be, and we discussed it, that Vani is more important than Vapu, that being close to the Guru Maharaj is not important, but doing his fulfilling his desires of fulfilling Lord Chaitanya's mission. Just those two correlations kind of stuck in my mind just this minute when who was listening to this class. So thank you for that. And I have one question. Prabhu, can you, you said that, and I've heard the story before, but I do not remember, so I'm just hoping you could refresh. When Sri Ramanujacharya went to Yamanacharya, there were three fingers, and there were three different things that he wanted him to fulfill. Can you explain what those other two things were? One was, you said, the Sri Bhasha, and I know there were two others, I don't remember. And the other question...
Mataji, if I remember correctly, so one was to write Sri Bhashya. Second was that you name one of your prominent disciples in honor of the author of Vishnu Puran, which is Parashar. So you name one of your prominent disciples, Parashar. That was one desire. And Prithi Velasi Mataji, the third one was to preach all over India, right? Against Mayavad.
The third one was to write a commentary on Namalwa's work. So three, as you said, one is the... to do the Sri Bhashya and the Gita Bhashya both. That was one desire. The second desire is to name two people in honor of Parashara and Vedavyasa. And later, Kuresh's two sons who were born by the mercy of Ranganath by taking Ranganath Prasad. Actually, she was conceived through Prasadam. So, because she was very old, Andal, who's the wife of Kuresh, was very old by then. Both of them were very old. But because it was Ramanujacharya's desire to fulfill the desire of Yamanacharya, Parashara Bhatta and Vedavyasa Bhatta were born from Andal, that is Kuresh's wife. Both of them were named after these two great personalities. And the third desire was to write a commentary on Nammalvar's work. So these, and of course, yeah, preaching, yeah, that is also there.
Madhuri, what is this Namai? What is commentary on? I don't know that.
Among the Alvars, the chief of all the 12 Alvar is called as Nam Alvar. So basically, he was actually born of a poor Varna or even an outcast. But when he was a kid itself, when he was a baby, he went crawling to the temple. He would never speak. He's also called a Shatakopa because he never spoke. And he never showed any symptoms of life much. In a sense, he never interacted with people. He went and sat in a particular tree that is there to this day in that temple. It is there near the Tirunelveli district, this temple. He's called as Nam Alvar. And he's the original of all the Alvars in the sense that he was the one who started the Sampradaya. The Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya and the way it has been developed is through the mouth of Nam Alvar. So Namalvar's works are very important. The Divya Prabandham is based mostly, I mean, all the Alvars have contributed to the Divya Prabandham, which is actually the works of the Sri Vaishnavas, the Alvars. But especially Namalvar is considered as the chief of all of them. So Namalvar's Thiruvayimul, that is the work that he has done, he was asked to write a commentary on it, or rather give an explanation on the works of Namalvar. That was the third desire, Prabhu.
Okay. Thank you so much, Mataji, for clarifying that so nicely. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. And my other question, if it's possible, can you, and again, I've heard this before, but I don't remember, Prabhu took two things from each of the four sampradayas in order to establish... the Argodia Madhya. So can you explain what the other ones were?
That's a great question, Mataji. But I really don't know. I have heard it, but I keep forgetting. Prithi Vilasin Mataji, can you tell or someone else?
I've heard it before and I can't remember.
Yeah, I also keep forgetting. Prithi Vilasin Mataji, can you tell that?
Lord Chaitanya, picking from all the different sampradayas, the teachings of all the other sampradayas, you're asking?
Yes, Mataji.
What are the ones
that you... In the Sri Sampradaya, as Prabhuji already mentioned, you heard that, right? So basically, one is pure devotional service without the mix of jnana and karma, and the other one was Vaishnava Seva, that is serving devotees. That was the two things he took from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. And then, you want the others?
Yes, please. Can you tell us the others? Yeah.
I don't have it offhand, Mataji. I can only look up and tell.
Because I remember
I remember trying to look for it before and I couldn't find it, and I've read it before, and I, you know, it would be nice to have a reference on hand.
Oh yeah, I have it in front of me now. So the Madhva of the Brahma Sampradaya preached the Dvaita philosophy. The following points were accepted from this Sampradaya. One, the complete defeat of the Mayavad philosophy, which is Kevala Advaita Nirasana. Two, the worship of the deity of Krishna and understanding it to be eternal, Krishnamurti Sevana. These two from the Madhva Sampradaya. Vishnu Swami of the Rudra Sampradaya preached Shuddha Advaita philosophy. And from that, Mahaprabhu accepted the following from his Sampradaya. One, the sentiment of total dependence on Krishna, Tadiya Sarvasva Bhava. Two, the path of spontaneous devotional service, Raga Marga. Nimbarka Acharya of the Kumara Sampradaya preached Dvaita Advaita philosophy. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted 2 points from this Sampradaya. The need of taking exclusive shelter of Radhika, Ekanta Radhika Ashraya, and two, the exalted mood of the gopi's love for Sri Krishna, Gopi Bhava. And of course, we already saw Ananya Bhakti and Bhakti Jana Sevana from Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya.
Thank you, Mataji. Could you send that link to me so I just can bookmark it and remember it when I need it?
Yeah, sure. I'll just copy paste it on our group so that you can refer it. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for asking that question, and thank you so much for answering Priti Vilasani, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Can I just quickly mention one thing I remembered that Rohini Priya Prabhu said last year in a class, talking about Ramanujacharya on this point, that he took, Lord Chaitanya took one aspect from Sri Sampradaya about Vaishnava Seva. So Ramanujacharya, how he explained how one should feel happy, you know, meeting Vaishnava, serving them, is, he explained his mood that one should consider the Vaishnavas equal to the paraphernalia of the Supreme Lord. Just like in a temple, you give so much respect and to the paraphernalia of a Lord. You want to be clean when you go to a temple of a Lord. It's to regard Vaishnavas, even if they may be junior, even if they are not pure devotees, to regard all types of Vaishnavas as equal to the paraphernalia of the Lord.
Thank you, Tulsi Gopi Mataji. For those of you who don't know, this was Tulsi Gopi Mataji. She is from Atlanta. She is also a disciple of Radhanath Maharaj. And she was there for this 2005-2006 South India.
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, all the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu, Danvat Pranam, all the Srila Prabhupada, Koti Koti Danvat Pranam. Prabhuji, we feel that we are in a dham and Maharaj is explaining Leela. That much potency in your lecture, Prabhuji. Thank you very much for reminding all the Leelas. Danvat Pranam, all goes to Prabhupada and Gurudev. Yes, we are not qualified for anything, Prabhuji. But last thing also is touch to heart that Prabhupada is the Chalta Pilta Bhagavat. We have to follow them. We have to serve the Vaishnava. Prabhuji, thank you very much for guide us, inspire us, correct us. 100 Pranam, all goes to Prabhupada and Sila Gurudev. Gopinath ki jai ho.
Thank you, Gopinath Mataji. All goes to Sila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Pranam, Glorious to Prabhupada. Prabhuji, I had one question, but I'm not sure if it's already discussed because I was, you know, jumping to and fro from our this call to my office calls. So my question was, Prabhuji, related to, you mentioned about doing Hari Seva and doing Vaishnava Seva. So how do we understand that, you know, Vaishnava Seva is higher then Hari Seva, although we also, you know, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is Hari Seva, and we do Vaishnava Seva also and deity worship also. So how to understand the higher and lower principle in this?
we can understand, Gaur Kesha Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, we can understand from the example of Kanchipurna and Lord Varadaraj, what he is teaching us. And Radhanath Maharaj, in one of his lectures, he said, if you love Krishna, the devotees will love you. And if you love the devotees, then Krishna will love you. Hope that helps, Prabhu.
Again, repeat, Prabhu.
Maharaj said, if you love Krishna, the devotees will love you. And if you love the devotees, then Krishna will love you. Like that. It's all reciprocal. There are so many references in Bhagavatam also, 11th canto. In Uddhav Gita, Krishna says, Mad Bhakta Puja Abhyadika. The worship of my devotees is more important. So, yeah. Hope that helps, Prabhu.
So, Prabhu, if we have some time, so, I mean, definitely we have to complete our sadhana of chanting, reading, hearing. And apart from that, if we get some time, then if we have to decide, okay, should I do Vaishnava Seva or should I do my own self-sadhana, then are you saying that we should focus more on the Vaishnava Seva side?
Priti Vilasini Mataji was talking about Parashar Bhatta.
Yeah.
Parashar, he became the successor of Sripad Ramanujacharya. And he was at Srirangam. And his very close friend, Anantacharya, was at Tirupati. So once a student of Parashar asked him, what is the qualities of a Vaishnava? So then it's a long story, but one of the four things that was revealed to the student was, a devotee is like salt. If there is too much salt in the vegetable, then it is unpalatable. If there is too less salt in the preparation, then also it is tasteless and it is unpalatable. Salt has to be just right in the sabji, in the dal, whatever preparations we make. A devotee is like salt. A devotee is balanced. Yukta ahar viharasya, yukta cheshta shakarmashu, yukta swapna vabodhasya, yogo bhavati dukkha. How do we reduce the miseries? Is by balancing ourselves. Bhagavad Gita Krishna teaches. So we have to balance. We have to find time for both. For our sadhana also. And for helping devotees also. And how that can be done practically in our personal lives. For that we have to take guidance of devotees one-on-one. So that the personal situation can be discussed. And we can discuss the details. But we have to balance. We have to have time for both. We cannot tell devotees, I don't have time for you because I have to chant my rounds. And we cannot tell Krishna and Guru Maharaj that I cannot fulfill my vow of 16 rounds today because I have to do Vaishnava Seva. We have to do both. We have to balance. That is a devotee, like salt. Okay, Prabhu?
Perfect, yeah. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I think it is 12:38. If it's okay with everyone, we can end the call.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and all the Guru Maharajas. Thank you, Prabhu. It's a very, very wonderful class. It's a very inspiring, all the devotees who are sharing also. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for a very wonderful class.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful nectarian class, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice class, Prabhuji. Nice class times and also the answers. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
thank you, Prabhuji, everyone. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much for your wonderful association.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavani Bio Vaishnave Bio Namo Namaha Ananta Koti Vaishnavrandi Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Ramanujacharya Ki Jai. His grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu Ki Jai.
Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.